Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. We're joined by Tuli Kakaza on the line. Good afternoon to you, Tuli.
Good afternoon, Zama. Good afternoon to you and the listeners.
Yes, how are you doing?
All good, thanks. How are things going on your end?
Lovely, lovely. Great to hear from you, man. Thank you so much for joining us. We are talking about the employee experience, and decades of business strategy have urged leaders to concentrate the bulk of the business efforts on the customer experience. But we've also heard the saying that happy employees make happy customers, and the new data reveals just how significant the impact of the employee experience is. And today, we want to learn exactly how to use it to unlock organizational growth. And so if you're running an organization out there or part of the management team, please do come closer or increase the volume, because Tuli is going to be talking to us right about that. So Tuli, how can leaders create a positive employee experience that fosters engagement and motivation?
I love that you're starting right there, because part of what would create a healthy employee experience would be to be engaged, right? Because how are you going to know how to make your employees be well treated, or how to improve and enhance their experience, if you're not talking to them?
So
it starts with interactions and setting, you know, what we can call reflective times. Just checking in, like, okay, guys, how are we doing? How does the week going? How are our targets going? What's been your experience? What can we work on? How can we improve? Those forms of engagement that are driven and informed by the people on the ground go a long way to contributing to how, you know, the experience of the customers is actually enhanced. And when it comes to now your staff members also being able to be more competent and able to support you, if you don't know what their challenges are in serving your customers, how are you going to help them?
True.
So spending, you know, that time to sit with them as departments, sit with them as teams, and sit with them as individuals is very significant, especially where line management is concerned.
I actually believe that, because you don't want to, as a customer, be getting into a business and receiving horrible service only to discover that the employee themselves are actually going through a very difficult time, be it in the personal space or even in the employment space. So very, very important what you just said. I actually buy into that 100%. Now, what are some ways that leaders can gather feedback from employees to improve the experience? You did say that the one-on-ones, but where do they start?
So there's two ways to gather feedback from your employees. Mm. The first being, you know, direct. So direct engagement would include, you know, this feedback interaction we were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, as line manager, you sit with your team, you're checking in. Guys, are we happy with how we've done over the past week or 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Is there anything you think we could have done differently? Is there anything we could have done better? And you know, what's very common in occupational spaces, I've found, it's not only my clients, but even in organizations I've served, is that we're very good at asking how, you know, the employees are performing. Huh? We don't do performance reviews on managers, do we? Something to definitely consider.
Yeah.
So maybe that's one of them. And, you know, the thing about doing management performance reviews is that it's going to be uncomfortable, because it speaks to exactly what you're not doing. And nobody likes to be confronted. Nobody likes to be called out on their errors. And that's why the more regular, and that's why I'm saying weekly or bi-weekly check-ins, and then, you know, your general team meetings, you know, we've met targets, we need to improve, et cetera, bottom lines of the organization and whatnot. But those every 2 week check-ins minimize the time at which your employees would have spent resenting you. Because by the time they were starting to brew into anger, you call them in and you actually were willing to receive feedback. And that goes to different leadership styles. So direct interaction. And the other one is anonymity, right?
Okay.
So basically being anonymous, doing your survey, you're not asking for, because the other thing is we say it's anonymous, but you still ask for my employee number. Why? You say it's anonymous, but you're asking for my name, but you're saying you're not going to, like, what is this? So genuinely being anonymous about things, and maybe just taking it old school, because I know COVID has taken us very digital. Black and white, where it's just yes, no, tick boxes on a black and white piece of paper. You'll never know. All the ink was black. It was yes and no questions. There was no, you know, where you can also pick up people's writings. Mm-hmm. That's another way of doing it old school, where it's on paper, but also digitally, making sure it is anonymous. That you are not using anything to identify directly that this is, you know, your staff members. And also be receptive. Be receptive to the feedback of what is the organization doing well? What am I doing well as the manager? And what am I maybe not doing well? Because that's how we enhance and improve as a unit.
Tell me, Thuli, in checking in with the employees, do we get into personal space? An example, it's a Monday morning. Hey, man, how was your weekend? How's family? Is everything all right at that front? Are kids okay? Or do we not get into that in the workspace?
I think this would be a case-by-case and organizational situation.
Okay.
And the reason I say this is, one, I am open-minded to how managers differ. Okay, so the example you gave is excellent, right? This is leading with compassion, servant leadership. I it works really great, but it does also possibly open up the door for the manager to now be easily manipulated, because you know my story, right? And so everything is going to be centered around my story. So that's the one part. And so bringing in somebody else, employee assistance or wellness coordinator, whatever you guys want to call it in the organization, because nobody trusts HR anymore. So, you know, you bring in someone specific to do that. And when you bring in an external employee assistance person to come in and do monthly check-ins with your team, they have nothing to do with you directly, because it's an external person. There's no direct contact or relation to this person. I see them, I vent, I process my emotions, my concerns. I learn healthy ways to navigate and move forward, and I'm good to go for the rest of the day. Because we really underestimate the significance of the value of what's happening in a person's individual life and how that directly affects their performance and how they're showing up in each day. You made a beautiful example of how nobody likes to consider that in reality, this person was short with you for home affairs because their own home affairs are not going well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in the moment, as the customer, really, that shouldn't be your issue. But when managers are not managing and leading well, that becomes your issue. I hope I'm making sense.
True.
So back into part of what leaders can and should be doing, checking in on your employees and showing that you care about their well-being is important. And when you are doing it yourself, you can pick these things up and say, you know what, I noticed the past two times I've sat with you, you've mentioned things at home are not going well. Can I refer you to HR to possibly book a counseling session? Also, having organizations and companies incorporate being open to paying for at least 3 to 4 sessions for your employees will go a long way. Notice, you are showing you care, but you are not the person directly managing whatever the personal situation is. And so you are referring externally, but at the same time, because you management are creating that even window for referral, this is your way of also showing compassion. Right? So those elements, in terms of responding to that, there's the direct communication. Depending on how well people are with boundaries, it's a maybe. And the other alternative that always works is, yes, you're checking in, you're picking up things, then you consult the person directly to say, hey, I'd like you to maybe consider talking to someone. Is that something you're open to? And then refer them to HR to get further assistance and support. That way you recuse yourself from being, you know, an active participant in whatever findings may come from that, so that you also don't unfairly treat them and exploit them because you know they are in financial need, for example. So I know I'm going to give Thuli all the extra hours and overtime. You know, and you neglect the fact that apart from the need for money, there's also a need for rest that makes us competent.
Mm, mm, mm. Beautiful, man. Beautiful indeed. Now, in what ways, rather, can leaders assist the employees develop professionally and advance their careers? Because I do know that some, managers, because this employee is so good, I want to hang on to them. I want to keep them in my department. And in that way, inadvertently, I'm now stifling on their growth. So how do we then help employees as managers to develop professionally and advance in their careers?
So, we do this thing again. KPAs, key performance areas, which are usually informed by the organization. But when you do KPAs that are inclusive of what I, as the individual employee, would like to develop, you might get a better way forward. Because now there's my personal development goals, and there's your developmental interests as an organization. And if you help me help myself to help you, and you help me at a personal level, then both of us are going to be reaching our bottom lines. And, when people leave organizations, they tend to leave them for unfair pay, not enough, support, team morale, etc. And they also leave because they feel I've reached my occupational ceiling. And we get those because there's no further career growth. But if I'm gradually developing and growing, I get to contribute. And again, back to the importance of sitting with your team, hear from them, be open-minded to process some of their suggestions and see which ones are reasonably and financially feasibly able to be executed, could help minimize, turnover when it comes to employees. Leaving an organization. As far as not stifling them, and when they want to, grow and expand, because now I've groomed you, I've grown you, I've paid for your developmental workshops, I've paid for your trainings, I've paid for all of your skill things. Ideally, as a leader, you would want, right? And I'm going to use, the child narrative. You would want to know that I've equipped this person well enough to know that they should be doing this work 10 times better than me. And when they get to that point where they can't do anymore, it is important that they go. Because when you retain employees who should be leaving and expanding their wings, they are going to frustrate you, manager. Because now you are no longer good enough for them. And so it goes back again with regular feedbacks. This is something you touch on and encourage. There's a lady, Cody Sanchez, who speaks about how the best thing that one of her managers ever did for her was advise her to leave the company. And she was like, how dare he? What does he mean? And she says, 5 years or 5 months to a year or so down the line, she recognized when she sat with him after she'd now left the company, and he said, you know what, I saw your ideas and the suggestions you were bringing, and I realized with this company and where we are here, we are never going to do any of what you're doing. So it's better that you go build your own boat that could possibly turn into a yacht, and therefore you will succeed. As opposed to us here who are going to keep you, confined and not able to have any growth room. And we're going to frustrate you. You're going to feel frustrated. You're going to start slipping up. It's going to look like your performance is not going well. And at the end of the day, you also, it's not working for you and you're a problem for us. So we start to create problems to hopefully kick you out. So either you walk out yourself by choice, or you find yourself, all of us are just in this uncomfortable predicament. And that's the other side of things that people don't consider, that sometimes by retaining people longer than they've served their purpose in that environment, or themselves retaining themselves in environments where they've completely fulfilled their purpose and value in that space, they are frustrating themselves, frustrating management, and management is also frustrated because what am I supposed to do with you? You've done everything you could do. You are the best you can be in the space, and you need to go. And you use those people who leave as your minimum benchmark moving forward, and you continue to groom and grow people in that way.
Love, man. I love what you're saying, because we've got to allow people to, we've trained them, we've done everything so that they can actually excel. And now that they're excelling, they must spread their wings. And one day they'll come back, like the story that you told us just earlier. And thank you for that. Now, before I let you go, we'll just talk about the culture of recognition. How can they create a culture of recognition and also celebration of employees' accomplishments? I do think that this is an area that most managers may actually not be managing well. Please talk to us about that.
Absolutely true. Again, so earlier I touched on how there's bottom lines, right? There's their bottom line. There's your intended bottom line that probably is or is not known. And there's the company and the organization's bigger bottom line, because your manager has a manager or a CEO or a board member that they're reporting to, somewhere who has their own vision while he has his own vision or her vision. And then there's you in your position who has your own vision of why you joined this company. And when we don't have open or constructive conversations around these different visions and purposes, we're going to be clashing. We're going to be clashing. It looks like I'm not doing my role, Marang Fun. I don't fully understand where we're going. And this is why sharing, you know, vision of where we're going as an organization is important, and checking in to make sure that everybody understands where we are going. Nobody likes ambiguity. Nobody likes uncertainty. You're just creating frustration. So when it comes to the rewards process, there's the, you know, everybody wants money, guys. Like, I'm not going to lie. To all managers and leaders, send your people money, okay? Yeah. Add a little 10K there. You know, pushing it, I know. But no, honestly, people need to know and feel that they are valued for their contribution into the organization. They need to know that you see them. And when we're scaling, you know, on that 1 to 5 or 1 to 7, whatever, you know, the remuneration scale looks like, people want to know that you've truly taken into consideration all their efforts on their benchmarks of what they've done. And it's more than just the money also. It's the taking the time to acknowledge. So back into the suggestion I made earlier of bi-weekly check-ins for the team or for individuals. It's going to be up to how big the organization is in reality. And when you do those check-ins, remember we said, you share with them what you've seen in the reports, give them an opportunity to report for themselves. That's another way of people being able to stand and represent their teams, represent their departments, an opportunity for them to shine in their problem solving skills. And we all learn how to capitalize on each other's strengths in the organization. You know, and that's another way of letting people shine. Allow them to, you know, report in a communal space. So we're all learning and growing, and you strategize this well so that nobody says, now we're all 200 of us sat in one place and it was an unproductive day. You could do it by department. That way, not all wings are suffering at the same time. That's one way. Recognition by, you know, information sharing in a public setting so everyone can see performance and they get acknowledged in public. The other is private. Private acknowledgement is going to come from those key performance areas where you own up and celebrate your people for what they're doing well. Let them know what value they're contributing, what that one suggestion that seems small changed everything in how we're treating each other. I'll give you an example. Yeah. Many, many years ago, I think this is around 2020, I had a leader who was open-minded to sharing with me what their benchmarks are as managers. And I felt I needed better support as a wellness professional. So I learned, if I can understand what his bottom lines are, then I can start incorporating mine somewhere there, and then I'll get better support with strategy. And in so doing, at some point, we had conversations and I was like, you know, I'm picking up staff morale's a bit low. And I know I'm not an employee person at the time. I'm not an employee wellness personnel, but I think, you know, people kind of want to feel like they're seen. How about we do mini awards? You know your team better than all of us because you go visit all our departments. But what about mini awards? You can have a team that works on it, one representative from every department, and people feel acknowledged. It's something he learned from that day from one suggestion, and it became something he did throughout the year. It was reasonably budgeted for. I think I suggested like every 2 months, and the rebuttal was every 3 months, right? So again, you work within the reality of the feasibility of your budget. But taking time to sit and acknowledge your people in a public seating shows them that you see me. Then when you also take the time to sit with them as individuals and say, hey, I noticed you reached your report this week says you served 10 more customers than your usual benchmark. Tell me, how did you do that? What was that like for you? Are you managing that? Are you coping with that? What did you find? You know, lean into also when people are making good adjustments that are serving you as a business. But again, how are you going to know this if you're not engaging?
Yeah.
Right? So people want to be verbally acknowledged, people want to be publicly acknowledged, and people want money. Those are the top three. I mean, there's a long list, but those three are very significant. We are human beings in organizations before we are these employee numbers that we come across as. We are parents, we are fathers, fathers and mothers, and daughters and granddaughters and whatever it is. And, you know, taking into consideration those humane aspects and the socioeconomics of the environment, when there are these bigger cases, you know, about justice for Kwe Kwe, some people are survivors of having been Kwe Kwe many years ago. So again, with the referral of having an external organization, like a consultant, the likes of myself, you know, in your organization coming in every 2-3 months to do these kind of talks, you give your people an opportunity to be human beings that continue to serve well your customers.
Beautiful stuff. Atuli Kakaza joining us, making sure that we understand. And I like that we mentioned that people must be given recognition and money as well as part of that recognition. Because I see in some organizations when they recognize you, but they give you a branded maybe pen, you know, from the organization. And really? Okay, pen is
or
good.
Or a pizza. What about the pizzas? The pizzas and the coke. Guys, come on. We can do better.
And definitely do better. Thank you so much, Tuli Kakaza, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Zama. Thank you so much. And it's a really relevant conversation. And we've just gone through the season where there were performance reviews, salary increases, a lot of disappointments across the board. That is looking like it might be going up. So, you know, it matters how you treat your people. And I really can't emphasize this enough. And yeah, that's it from me. Tuli Kakaza, wellness and development consultant, award-winning in the employee healthcare professional as far as wellness is concerned.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much, Tuli.
All right. Thank you so much, Zama. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.